one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory for all his chains when Jesus comes to stay.
Will you take that best of all books, open it up with a tax collector, a man who sat daily collecting taxes, and I don't imagine he'd won any popularity contest. I imagine he was as despised as they could come. And Jesus walked by him one day and said, Matthew, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. And he left his tax collecting and followed Jesus. Then Jesus gave him the sweet privilege of writing the first gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. Now, we're going to go to the 25th chapter. Chapter 25 and verse 1. This message tonight has to do with the coming of our Lord and divides the people into two classes, wise and unwise. There were 10 that he picked out, and he deals with those 10. I hope you'll very cautiously listen tonight and let the Lord tell you about your own spiritual condition. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now notice, they all had lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. The first thing is, the test was not having a lamp. No, sir. They all had the lamp. Brother, America's filled with religious lamps today. Oh, listen, I've talked to people this week. They had their lamps. But that's not the final test. Boys, he'll grind her down to the final test in just a moment. And we're going to find out who really will be ready. Who's foolish? Who's wise? 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. That means 50% were wise, 50% were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Brother, we're coming closer to home now. No oil. I've got my lamp. Let's go a little further. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And so far as we know, that's not the deciding factor. I guess everybody has to have a little slumber and a little sleep. And verse 6, though, said at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go meet him. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose. They all got up. All of them waked up. They came out of their sleep. They arose and trimmed their lamps. They trimmed their lamps. Ah, listen. All of them. Now, so far as we've gone, we're getting a good picture of religion. Lamps, wick trimming, religious talk, looking for him to come. But there's one final test, dear friends. And here it comes. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Yes, you better go to the well if you want some oil. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And folks, that's it. The door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now then, I want us to look at our lesson tonight and our message tonight. You can do a lot of things and still not be ready for Jesus to come. And oh, tonight, with all the seriousness of my soul, without just trying to get somebody upset unduly, I want to ask you, do you have your lamp? You'd say, sure, I've got my lamp. I've been a member of the Baptist. I know. Second, are you watching first? You say, yes, sir, I believe he's coming. Third, do you have some oil? Do you have oil for your lamp tonight? Now, you know what the oil is, don't you? That's the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 chapter said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Oil in your lamp. The lamp could be religion. And you could trim the wick. And I've seen my mother trim the wick and clean the globe. And you can clean the globe. You can try. You can join the church. You can get baptized. You can do better. You can improve a little. You can have religious ambition. But there must be oil if there's to be a consistent light. And there's our need today. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. I guess the hard thing for maybe you and I to understand is that we've got a lot of people in the world, and I dare not sit in judgment now, and I'm not. I want you to go with me to chapter 7, same book. He starts off by saying, don't get in the judge's seat. Just don't sit in the judge's seat. I told you this morning, Jesus warned us about being hypocrites in the giving, praying, fasting, and judging. Those four things. He scolded and scalded and skinned the Pharisees and the hypocrites of his day. And then in the 7th chapter, in the winding up of the Sermon on the Mount, just before he comes to say, there's going to be two kinds of houses built, and we find two kinds of virgins. And in this chapter, verse 20, he said, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And then that unusual 21st verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Let's park for a moment. A lost man cannot do the will of God. The will of God is for you to be saved. That's number one. What must we do to work the works of God? They said, well, he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. The daddy of all of Brother Olaf's works is the night that I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart. That was the beginning. I did no works for God. I accomplished nothing for him until, first of all, he came into my heart and saved me. And by their fruits you shall know them. And you can say, Lord, Lord, but not all the people that say that will enter into the kingdom. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, verse 22 is a little stranger than that. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then, but I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I doubt if there's a more sobering verse recorded in the Bible than that. People would come before the judge of all the universe and the world and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? We prophesied in thy name, done many wonderful things in thy name. And then will I say, depart from me, I never knew. Now you'd say, what is that condition? Unsaved people. Unsaved people that try to do the work of the Lord in their own flesh. And they do it for an earthly reward. And for a, listen, the devil is a miracle worker. Man, we have experiences down at the lighthouse. And here, when the devil helps them to perform miracles. The devil looks after his children after his own fashion. And he will amaze the world to the point that they'll say, that was God. No. Dear friends, God only works through his word and the Holy Spirit. That's all. And I'm talking about five foolish virgins, and the thing that indicated and made plain their foolishness, they had no oil in their lamp. Therefore, their light went out. Now, you can make your lamp shine for a while with your works, but brother, the test will be one of these days as to whether you had any real oil or not. Many people are busy, joining churches, and never, and of course I'd say this, churchianity itself is failing now. People are getting sick and disgusted with church because they don't find anything real. Don't find anything real. Going to church on Sunday morning is about like going to the morgue. No spirit in the singing. No excitement in the pulpit. Nobody getting saved. Nobody ever goes to the altar. The people said, this is a fake. I'm not going back. And so America is rapidly becoming a non-church-going nation. Listen, dear friends. He said, you'll be able to say, and there'll be some that'll say, Lord, we sure prophesied in thy name. In thy name we've cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And then will he say, I never you. Now, let's see the picture for a moment. There are 10 of them. All of them had their lamps. All of them went out and were looking for Jesus to come. They went to sleep. All of them went to sleep. The cry came. They all heard the cry. All of them got up. All of them trimmed their wicks. Every one of them. The Bible said they'd trim. The unsaved knows how to trim the wick. All they got religious lamp, religious wicks. But remember one thing. Without the oil, there'll be no shine. And dear friend, I'd like to remind you tonight that the Holy Spirit is Jesus' going away gift to the world. He said, I will not leave you orphanus. I will not leave you orphans. I'll send another comforter. Oh, listen, he'll guide you into all truth, and he will not talk about himself, but he'll talk about me. And when you're filled with the Spirit of Christ, you talk about Jesus, and you want to win people to Christ. There's two things that's certain about being filled with the Spirit of Christ. Number one, you have peace, joy, and love. Number two, you want everybody else to have. And you know there's plenty of it. And you believe that the Holy Spirit will lead you to be a soul winner when you're filled with His presence. He's the only one who can take the fear out and put faith in. The man I talked about this morning, he was amazed and he was in consternation. He said, he shook his head. He just shook his head. He said, all you're doing is making Christ your crutch. Making Christ your crutch. Well, dear friend, I'd like to say, first of all, I limp a little. I need a crutch. I mean, I'm just not strong enough to make without a good. But my crutch is the Christ of Galilee, who never stumbled, who never failed, but gave me the very thing that I've been satisfied with all these years. He said, I wouldn't want to come down there because I told you the morning. He said, that'd make me get depressed. I'd see all those boys that's been in trouble and all those girls that's been in trouble. I said, man, what you talking about? I said, that'd knock the depression out of you. But I said, you'll never understand what we're talking about. There are three of us talking to him. And I said, you'll never understand until you receive Christ as your personal Savior. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now then, tonight, as I close this brief message, I want to announce to you, everybody in the auditorium is either wise or you're foolish. Every girl, every boy, practically everybody in this auditorium tonight is old enough to be saved or lost. And our congregation is divided. I hope it's not 50-50, but it was 50-50. Half of them were wise, half of them were unwise. sometimes I'd be comforted if I just thought that half of the people were saved. Personally, without me judging and saying you're lost and you're saved and you're lost. But by their fruits, the saved are in the great minority tonight. I'm talking about people that really prove by their works that they've been saved. If a man comes into Christ and old things pass away, I stayed in the motel and I was going to see a particular man. I may tell you more about him a little later on. I took an interest in, and I'm amazed at the friends God gives. I never would get adjusted to that. A Catholic man with five children, after I just went into his office and told him something about my need, and he said, all right. And I went away to a little town to stay in a motel. And I heard that this man was one of the patients, and I called him long distance, and I said, I'd like to stay at your motel, and I'll see the doctor you go to. And he said, fine. He said, I'll meet you at the airport, and I'll bring you, and I'll let you have a car. You can go backwards and forth. It's about 20 miles, and you just use my car. And I tell you, talk about some faith. The doctor called me on the phone and said, Brother Olaf, I'd like you to come over tomorrow night and have the evening meal in my home. That kind of surprised me, and yet I ought not to be surprised anything God works out. And you know me, I never eat out. But that opportunity I grasped. I said, I'll be there. And so we went in, a family of people, all of them Catholic friends. But he said, I'm not a practicing Catholic. In other words, he said, I don't care nothing about it. But he said, my wife and the children said they go all the time. I said, listen, it's not a matter of being a Catholic. It's a matter of being saved, being a Christian, knowing the Lord. Oh, you can imagine the doors the Lord opens to us and to you and to me. If we just keep our gun loaded, we'd have something to shoot at besides cottontail rabbits, chee-chee birds. God would show us a big gobbler and a 10-point book every once in a while. If we'd stay with. But most of us are afraid of our own shadow. And we're afraid to open up. Folks, five of them were foolish. Five of them were wise. And the difference was in the oil. I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart and in your life? I'm not asking about conviction. I'm afraid that many people join the church under conviction instead of conversion. And then you become miserable church members. You work hard, try to do, but dear friend, you've got to come to the place where you say, yes, Lord, let the Holy Spirit possess me, fill me, and give me the love, the joy, and the peace. You'd say, what happened, Brother Olaf, in the New Testament? Well, I guess if the Holy Spirit ever had a birthday, it was at Pentecost. I mean, if he ever made his full entrance into the world in one day, it would be at Pentecost. The disciples had been laboring behind closed doors. 10 days, 10 nights. They were tarrying, waiting. And then Luke said, tarry till you be endued with power. Holy Ghost will come upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses. And they waited. And then that little band of unsung spiritual heroes, but bold as lions, walked out to Pentecost that day. And the Bible says people came from everywhere. Just think of it. I imagine the Christians were about the most surprised in a way. Just 120 of them. And they'd been probably meeting in secret. I know they had. And they'd never seen a crowd gather to hear them. And they began to look around, and they were coming from every lane and every trail. And Peter said, ooh, what a crowd we have. Man, he said, listen, we're going to have a congregation. 3,000 souls that day. And that probably was not all of them, but I'll tell you one thing. There was 3,000. And I imagine this little band of 120, 119 of them, nudged their preacher and said, you preach, we'll pray. And said, we'll not only pray, but we're going to witness when the time comes. And I imagine they got themselves space, and one of them got over here with this one, He couldn't understand the thing he's saying. And one of them spoke one language, a dialect, another, another. And they got over there. And old brother Simon Peter got up. And he began to preach. And you talk about mowing the grass short. I want you to know he preached. Listen, he put that old gospel plow on the ground. He plowed up clods bigger than your head. The people began to say, men and brethren, what must we do? He said, I tell you, repent every one of you. You're guilty before God. You killed Jesus. Brother, they began to moan and groan, and all of a sudden the people began to witness in each other's tongues. One of them said, I didn't know you could speak my language. He said, I couldn't, but I can now. And he said, to read them talking your language, you need Jesus. That's what you need. You need to be born again. You need. And 3,000, so you know what? They had oil in the lamp. Those lamps begin to shine, and sinners begin to cry. And 3,000 souls were saved. Yes, do you have oil in your lamp tonight? A little boy named Philip used to come to our church. I wonder where he is. But little old Philip came from a Latin American home. We've had many sweet, wonderful Latin American friends in Corpus Christi. And never was around them until I came to Corpus. Many are the precious friends. There's a humility about our Latin American people that some of us other colors need. But the little boy would come. I can see him now in his little suit, beautifully dressed. He'd stand and sing, Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Gave her living water, sent her forth to tell. She went away singing. She came back bringing others to the water that was not from the well. And that's it. The little fellow looked, I got some oil in his lamp. His mother and daddy got oil in their lamps and became great Christians. Let's stand together for prayer. Now tonight I realize that my congregation could be divided into wise and unwise. And I'd like to invite the wise to be wiser. And I'd like the unwise to come tonight and say, I want oil from a lamp. I've gone through all the religious motions. I've had a lamp for a long time. I've had an Episcopalian lamp, a Catholic lamp, a Baptist lamp. And I'm tired of trimming wicks. I can't make it burn because I'm out of oil. Oh, tonight, I'll have to make the same admission the wise virgins made when they said, we can't give you oil. You'll have to go to the place that has the oil. Go to the one that has the oil. And so tonight, I can only tell you about it. But you'll have to come to the oil well to get your oil. Jesus will forgive you, will save you, and put oil in your lamp. The oil will flow freely tonight. There's plenty of oil. There's no need, dear friend, in just having a clean globe or a trimmed wick or lamp. But say, Lord, put oil in my lamp and keep me burning. Burning until Jesus comes. If I could ask a question, which I rarely do, this will be it. If you'd say, Brother Olaf, I know that tonight I'm not right with the Lord, but I'd like to be. I've heard the message. I do not want to be one of the foolish ones. And the midnight cry may come any time. We're living at midnight now, in the middle of the darkest night any nation ever saw. And at midnight, if he comes at midnight, he could come right now. I'm not right with the Lord. I need your prayers. Would you raise your hand right now? God bless you, son. Many, many hands tonight. Surely the Lord would have us pray with faith, believing now for these precious friends. You were not trying to show off. You were not just trimming a wick. You said, I need help tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we saw people whose names we couldn't call tonight. Raise a concerned hand. And dear Lord, I prayed and asked you before I came. I knew how serious this truth is. And Father, I pray that tonight, everyone that lifted their hand might come to the place where they get oil. Oh, may they strike oil tonight. May they be in the oil business before this service is dismissed tonight. Father, we wait upon thee and we ask you to have mercy. And Father, will you just remind them that They just must confess that they're sinners, that they cannot save themselves, and that Jesus died on the cross, and tonight's the time, and now's the time of the night for them to come and be saved. Oh, may they not play for any more time. You've been lenient and been patient with us through accidents and dangers and many things, and yet, Lord, we're here tonight in this good place, in this good and glorious hour. And all of us have a chance to come with our lamps to get them filled with oil tonight. Lord, I pray to bless your children. Bless all those that have already come to the altar and others that are coming. And grant, Lord, that we might be willing to say, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee. Lord, I'm coming. Tonight, come on this first stanza. Just as I am without one. That's right. That's right. That's right. Come on. Come on. Don't be ashamed or afraid to come. May come to me, your land. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark love, to the earth blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb. Just as I am, wretched, blind, sad, wretched, the healing of my mind. Yes, you'll heal that too. All I need in the Alpine. Oh, sing the last one, just as I thou wilt be, will welcome one that cleanses me, because thy promise I believe, tonight.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.